This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good morning, and welcome to St. John's for worship this morning. It is good to see you here. Special welcome to our guests and visitors this morning. And no matter if you are a lifetime member or a first-time visitor, you are as pleased to sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book that is at the end of every row of pews that helps us to serve you better. Thank you for doing that. You may notice by the change in colors around here that we have entered the season of Lent. It is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And throughout this Lenten season, we're going to hear about God's open door policies, his efforts to bring his people needing redemption from sin back to him. Today, we see in our scripture readings that one person God calls upon to do the job and everybody else kind of watches. We see that especially come out in our sermon this morning as well. To guide our worship, we will follow the order as it is displayed on the screen. And we'll begin with our first hymn, that's 538, Jesus, My Great High Priest. Please note that a cantor will sing stanza 1. The congregation is invited to join in stanzas 2, 3, and 4. May God bless our worship. Or not a cantor, a choir.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, Approach God's throne with a great high priest. Our worship this morning follows morning praise 2, which will be on the screen today. We'll join the congregation in opening our service and singing from the Christian worship hymnal, Jesus, My Great High Priest, hymn number 538. Again, hymn 538 from the Christian worship hymnal.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Savior Christ Jesus commanded baptism when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. In baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives with the words on the screen. I think the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit and united us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every day, God forgives your sins, removes your guilt, and strengthens you to defeat Satan's power. His promise is for you and your children, and he will never forsake you. Your sins are forgiven. You are clothed with Christ. You are at peace with God now and forever. Amen. The Gospel according to St. Mark. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jonah, Jedediah, Strobel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I forgot to get the cloth out. Oh, we don't have a cloth. Oh, there it is. I didn't get the cloth out. I am so sorry. Jonah received the sign of the cross on the head and on the heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. The Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given you the new birth of water, and the Spirit has forgiven all your sins. May he strengthen you by you with his grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks, most merciful Father, that you have received Jonah Jedediah as your own child and made him a member of Christ's body, the church. Now we pray, grant to him and to all the church on earth that, being dead to sin, we may live to righteousness, and being buried with Christ into his death, we may also share in his resurrection, so that with all your saints we may inherit eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we sing, "Come, O Come." Yep.
Our first reading from God's Word chosen for this first Sunday in Lent is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17, selected verses. This is the account of the battle between David and Goliath, and it was a battle that came down to one person from each side. One man went to war while the others watched, and God gives the victory to David. A challenger who represented the Philistines came out from the camp of the Philistines. He was named Goliath of Gath. He was 9 feet 6 inches tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore scaled body armor, which was made of more than 100 pounds of bronze. He had bronze greaves on his shins and a bronze spear slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead was made of 15 pounds of iron. His shield bearer went out ahead of him. He would stand up and shout to the armies of Israel, "Why have you come out to line up in battle formation? I am a Philistine, and you are servants of Saul, aren't you? Choose a man to represent you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants, and you will serve us." The Philistine would say, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man, and we will fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. David said to Saul, "Do not let anyone lose heart because of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." But Saul said to David, "You cannot go against this Philistine to fight with him, because you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior since he was a youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant has been taking care of his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. When the lion reared up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, struck it, and killed it. Your servant struck both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the ranks of the living God." David added, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go then, may the Lord be with you." So Saul dressed David in his own gear. He placed a bronze helmet on his head and dressed him in scaled body armor. David strapped his sword over his gear. David tried to walk around in them, since he had never trained with this kind of equipment before. David said to Saul, "I cannot go in these, because I've never trained with them." So David took them off. Then David took his staff in his hand and picked 5 smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them into the pouch of his shepherd's bag. He took his sling in his hand and approached the Philistine. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand." Then when the Philistines started advancing to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took a stone from it, shot it from his sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 91E. The music for that is printed in the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter on page 476. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to Luke chapter 4 verses 1 through 13. David's descendant Jesus goes to battle for us. Weak and in the wilderness, Jesus stands against Satan's temptations and he overcomes them, winning the victory for us. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He did not eat anything during those days. When he came to an end, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The devil led him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil told him, "I will give you all this power and the glory of these kingdoms, because it has been entrusted to me, and I can give you anything I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, because it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It says, you shall not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, 546. Please note that we have singers for stanza 1. The congregation is invited to join in stanzas 2, 3, and 4.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear people who love your great high priest, God brings into this reading that whole Old Testament idea of how to worship and who's doing the worship and how it's being done through the high priest. This was always a picture of what Christ would be. And it's important for us to understand that before we go too much further. But it's addressed to people in the Jewish culture who understood all these things and yet who were Christian by their faith. They were Jewish by their culture and Christian by their faith. They were connected to a high priest on a regular basis. The writer to the Hebrews, as far as he's concerned anyway, recognizes that the true heart of Judaism is Christianity. And he points out that Christian faith does not exclude a high priest because we have the best high priest. Let's just read Hebrews 4 to get us going. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The word of the Lord. Last week we talked about transfiguration and we reminded ourselves that Jesus is true God and true man in one person and that he was the one to come and do what was necessary. And part of his job was being a high priest. He never really acted as that, at least in the ceremonial system when he was alive on earth. But the position of a priest was to lead people before God. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did, to lead them before God? In the Old Testament, people would walk 70 miles from Galilee to visit the temple with an offering, and they would bring, sell a sheep at home and buy one nearer to the temple. And then they would bring their offering to a priest at the temple. And once in a while, even the high priest would be the one assigned to have spiritual fellowship with the average Joe and to take them into the temple and offer their sacrifice on the altar. He would take the lamb to the altar, shed its blood and perhaps burn it or perhaps have a fellowship offering with the people. And all of it was designed to remind the people that the blood of another purifies us from all sin. All of it was designed to see that only those who are holy can go before the Lord. And that's quite a tall thing for us to understand. Not only did the priest have to sacrifice for himself before he went before the Lord, so did every person have to sacrifice before the Lord. And all this was in the deep down understanding of these people who had become Christian after Christ. But now there's another problem. As they turned Christian, those who didn't want to accept Christ would persecute them, sometimes even from their own family. And after years of this struggle to confess their faith, to be joyful in saying, "This is my Lord and my God, and he is Christ the Lord," and yet others condemning them and just abolishing them from the family, you can imagine that they were a little cowed and ill-confident. These fights were going on for years. They were cowed by the world. They were cowed by their own families. They were intimidated by people all around them, and they were tired of pointing out the predictions and the prophecies from the Old Testament that made it so clear that this Jesus was the one. And so many of them were turning away. Many of them just didn't want the strife, didn't want the struggle. They wanted peace. And certainly, isn't that what God promised to us, peace? But he didn't stop the bad things from happening. So how can he do anything more for me, is what many of them were thinking. And yet, here's Christ. Before many of them despair of their faith, he's calling out to them as the high priest. They were saying, how can you help me? How can you help us who've been tempted so sorely to give up on you? How can we cling to him, the high priest? The law is not what people want, and strife is not what people want. How can you help me? And yet this is the very goal of the writer in this particular section, that he makes it very clear where that peace is, and he makes it very clear where we find it. Remember what he said at the end, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Christ is here as the best high priest so that we all can approach God's throne. How did he go about that? First thing is that he was tempted in every way. We saw the gospel reading today where Satan himself tempted him with temptations designed just for him, but it was the same kind of temptations that we have, in that they come from the outside and surprise us. Satan tried to say, I'll give you the easy way out if you just bow down and worship me, trying to give him relief and comfort by feeding him after 40 days of fasting. There was so much that made it hard on Jesus. And Satan thought, he has got a great weakness here. Here's this human being standing before me. That's his Achilles heel, and I'm going to get him. How important for us to see that he was tempted in every way just as we are. And that is exactly the way it was in the Old Testament. Those priests were human beings. They were people who knew temptation, who knew sin, and they very publicly sacrificed for their own sins at times. Made it very clear, God made it very clear that they needed to be forgiven as much as anybody else. But what we have is one who leads us before our God. Look what our text says earlier, one who has gone through the heavens. You see, he lived in the heavens to start with before he came here to earth. And after he was sacrificed and after he ascended to heaven, he went back to that throne of grace because he had succeeded in what he was doing. And we know how much he had to go through while he was here. We have, again, that gospel lesson where Satan aimed at him personally. Look at his prayer in the garden. If this cup can be taken away from me. He understood who he was there for. He understood exactly what he had to do as the great high priest. He represented us before God, just as the priests do. Taking our offerings, taking our prayers before our God, and asking God for his grace and his mercy. And so Jesus went boldly and willingly into that fight, and it didn't even seem like a fight. But this is exactly what was needed to get to God's throne of grace. He was there to take on Satan. He was there to take on our sin. He was there to defeat death. And by being the high priest, he won. As the high priest, he offers us peace with God in him. How important for us to see that particular detail. The peace that God has always offered is not peace here on earth, not peace with other sinners, but peace with God. That's what he offers. The peace that was supposed to be there from creation has been spoiled by sin. And while we live in this sinful world, it will always be there. But he offers peace with God. It's a little bit like Churchill's message to the people of his nation as World War II started, well, as he took over as prime minister after the war had started, he said, "All I can offer you is blood, sweat, and tears. While we're here, our Savior had that blood, sweat, and tears. Same with us. But how important for us to have the peace we need, the peace with God. So you see, he has gone through the heavens, and he is the one who strengthens us from heaven. He is the one who sends his Holy Spirit into our lives. He's the one who gives us his word to strengthen us. He tells us to work at our faith and not give up at it, to be very conscious of it, because it is so easily lost and so easily tempted. How important for us to attend worship and to hold firm to our faith. The faith which he taught us, the faith which begins and ends with the high priest, Christ Jesus. And here's where we see the theme of our services this week, or this during Lent, the open doors. The way that God opens the door is by sending the one perfect one through first. Again, if you don't mind me citing Churchill, who said, "We the many owe so much to the few. We the many owe so much to Christ Jesus alone. He is the only one qualified to participate in this battle." And it isn't strange to us at all. I don't know how many times I run into you Packer fans along the way here. And every time you defeat us poor Lions, I get it, you know, from saying how wonderful my team is. Look at, we won. Right? Did you really win? Did you go out there and tackle that nasty, the big, horrible running back? Did you go out there and knock the passes down? No, your team did, and they won for you. But now it's one-on-one, like our other reading. Trial by combat that would solve a battle and send many more home alive rather than dead. Something that they did in the Old Testament. And it's, again, exactly what our high priest came to do. To take the fight to Satan himself, to win the victory for us. He would face his judgment with confident faith, and we can face our judgment with the same confidence. Because we know who our high priest is. When we look back at a transfiguration, we see him who cannot be defeated. Him whose face shone with the divinity and the power of God alone. He who resolutely set out for Jerusalem to do what was necessary. We have a divine and human high priest, not like those high priests of old who were merely human. And he's not idle. Although he is no longer on earth as the disciples knew him, he is with every one of us. And he's still active in our lives. As we read in the psalm, he sends his angels to care for you where you are. And while he's in heaven, he pleads our case like a lawyer before our God, that the sins have been paid for completely with the sacrifice of Christ Jesus himself. Here again is him going through the heavens. He went to the heaven to offer that sacrifice that he completed on earth on the cross. And he laid it on the altar of God to satisfy his righteous anger against sin. And his blood paid for our sins. This is what defeated Satan. This is what turned Satan aside. And he keeps on interceding for us as he did with that sacrifice. And he points out your faith as you walk before him and says, "That's my child. That's your child, dear Father in heaven. Save them, watch over them, protect them." Jesus experienced what he knew was there. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah showed up to comfort and encourage him. And now Jesus comforts us. That's exactly what a high priest was supposed to do. They not only offered the sacrifices that people brought, but when with a fellowship meal, they would sit down with the average people and speak to them about God and encourage them in their faith. And they could bring their troubles to the throne of grace through that earthly temple and through that earthly priest. And now you have that same right today. You may go through Christ Jesus to God Himself to take your cares, your problems, your difficulties, the strife in your life, times when you have no peace, and find the strength to do what's necessary. And it's very important that we have that, because we know that judgment is coming. And a lot of people feel that when it says here, let us then approach the throne. We go before God for judgment. And yet, look at what it's called here. The throne of grace. Our God is perfect in His justice, and He punished all sin on Christ Jesus, but He is also perfect in His mercy and is willing to forgive the worst sins through a repentant faith. Oh, there might be consequences on earth for the things that we've done, but that judge in heaven is joyful when one sinner repents and wants them to be with Him, to recognize our sins and to turn away from them because they are so dangerous that they kill us spiritually for eternity. That's why we have a high priest who speaks to God on our behalf, to cleanse us of our sins. Yes, we ought to be fearful when we have fallen to our temptations. We ought to be fearful when the law condemns us. How sad it is, how often in our present world, when people don't even want to hear it when a pastor calls them to repentance. I'm a good person, they shout and scream in defensiveness. And yet we point out, this is what God's word says. You have sinned against God, and you have offended Him. I'm here to warn you. That's what a high priest does. And yet we go before the throne of grace, because Christ has become our Redeemer as our throne of grace. He has paid the price for our sins by not only offering the sacrifice, but by being the sacrifice for us. This is what the high priest does too. Intervenes between God and men with the punishment necessary to take us heaven, so that God, who wishes to give mercy, will give mercy to those who repent of their sins. This is grace. I always illustrate that with kids at home. And quite frankly, I was one of them when I was young. How many times did we offend our parents? I remember the time we were playing football in the living room and broke the lamp. Of course, we tried to put it back up, and it didn't quite stay up. Of course, we didn't tell Mom. Kind of taped it on there, right? Oh, she was upset. Wouldn't it have been better if we just went to her and said, Mom, we busted your lamp. We'll have to pay for it through our paper route. How much more peaceful it would have been. But that's not who we are. We resist being caught. And yet God, just like my mother, wanted to forgive me, wanted to show His love to you. And now, here are these people tempted to turn their backs on God because they were being persecuted by their own people, by their own culture, because they had found the Christ. Here's where the encouragement comes from our God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, so that He can help us in time of need. Two different passages from this little section. How hard it was for Christians to live in the early church as the church was growing, as Satan was let loose. At their baptisms, adults were expected to confess their faith, a detailed faith, as others had taught them. Not the priest, not the pastor even taught them. It was their friends who taught them what Jesus was all about. And they were expected to confess their faith in spite of knowing that they were in danger now as Christians. And they did in large numbers. Let us profess our faith in our great high priest. We know who he is. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. And he leads us before the throne of grace with confidence, because it's not depending on us. He is our champion who won the victory. So we can go before that throne of grace. No longer a throne of judgment for those who are in Christ. We go directly into the throne room. We stand humbly before the King of Kings, who promised eternity to the repentant, who provides love and compassion and grace and strength for those who are in him. Are you a Christian? Come boldly. You have the man who is also God sitting at the right hand of the Father. Are you confident in him? Then boldly bring your requests through your great high priest. What an amazing picture God gave us in David. Long before he became king, God used him to illustrate exactly what Jesus did. One man taking on all our enemies and defeating them all. That is who our great high priest is. Rejoice in your great high priest and have confidence as you stand before your God. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith and song with "You Are God, We Praise You." You will sing the whole thing this time. Notice we changed that this time. You will be singing the whole song.
The congregation may be seated, and we'll gather our offerings of thanks.
Welcome again to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. We thank everyone for joining us today. Our regular Sunday worship time in person is 9 a.m. every Sunday. We do not have Thursday worship services during Lent. During Lent, our worship services are on Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 p.m., followed by soup and bread in the fellowship hall at approximately 4:30 p.m., and a 6:30 p.m. Lenten evening worship every Wednesday night through the season of Lent. Also, our Lent services will be posted to Facebook by 8 p.m. every Wednesday evening. Our regular Sunday worship services will stream live on Facebook at 9 a.m. every Sunday and will also be broadcast on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo at 10 a.m. every Sunday, as well as 103.7 FM in Reedsburg and streaming online at max.fm. You can watch the television broadcast of our services at noon every Sunday on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on the St. John's Lutheran Church and Schools Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the three-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913, are appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
We join in praying as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Mighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus walked into the wilderness to face the devil's temptations, but he did not succumb to Satan's lies or falter in his resolve to save the world from the prison of hell. Bolster our faith by his mighty victory, that we may battle against the forces of evil with courage and confidence. through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Let us praise the Lord. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face ever shine upon you. Grant you peace for all your days.
The congregation may be seated, and we will close our worship with our final hymn, 641, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere. Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Jesus said that his life was like a seed that must die to live and bear much fruit, and in him, your life is the same.